I'm gonna settle into this
Settle into it, honey. Put some butter on that scum.
Well, hello and welcome. Bienvenidos to the... Bienvenidos, damas y caballeros, and everyone in between, to the Guantanamo Bay's podcast,
A Cuban Cousin Kiki.
I'm your host, Brian Bogart.
And I'm your other host, Julian Goza.
We are here to talk to you about a few things. For starters, let's settle in and... I'm curious, how was your week, Jules? I haven't seen you in a few days.
My week's going really well. My birthday's coming up, as you know.
It is.
And I'm one of those bitches that celebrates for the full week, honey.
Oh, really? I thought you were going to say the birthday month.
No, that's just decadent.
That's why I would make
sense. What, am I a millionaire? That's what I can only finagle a week.
Yeah, so...
Because it's expensive.
You want to get to the point where it does become a month-long celebration.
I don't know. Not necessarily.
Okay.
I guess we'll just take it year by year.
Yeah.
But this year, a week is all I could afford and all I really want. But so I started today at the Beverly Hot Springs, which is like in Koreatown. It's a real hot spring in the middle of L.A.
You're packing in a month's worth of celebrations in this one week.
Yeah.
I will say.
I got a facial. Can't you tell? You tell?
I'm gonna gloss over the obvious.
Yeah, which was cool because my facialist claimed that she was Shalom Harlow and Amber Valletta's facialist. They're like supermodels from the 90s.
Okay.
Talked about how like she's worked with Madonna and Cher and wouldn't know it by her office. These leaky ass ceiling tiles over
here. Yeah, and also I don't know if I would take credit for being Madonna's facialist right now.
Right, I know. We talked about that.
Homegirls looking rough.
I know, yeah. I know. But that was really cool. And then I went to High Tea at the Beverly Hills Peninsula.
And you're saying, I can't celebrate a month. That's decadent. I'm just going to go to my hot springs and celebrate at High Tea.
And it's also tea season. Was I talking to you about this? Like the beginning of spring, it's tea season, honey.
Is that a thing? Official or is this an unofficial stance?
Well, it's unofficial, but when you think of the start of spring, it's like, oh, I want scones and like, you know, a nice pear tea. And like, I had like this little like confection that was like made of rose water and sugar. It was so good.
I want people listening need to know you are such a seasonal batch. Like you...
My candles are seasonal.
You watch
the
movies.
The flowers in my living room are seasonal.
Yeah.
Movies.
You won't watch a movie if in the winter if you feel like it's a better movie to be watched in the spring.
Right. It's not that I'm not gonna... I'm waiting for the right time.
Yeah.
It's more proactive than not watching it. It's that I'm waiting for the right time.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not just not watching it. It's putting it off.
Yeah, waiting.
Abstaining.
Waiting is not doing nothing. It is an active.
Damn.
It's a verb. I'm waiting.
Fuck me up.
Yeah. Boom. Drop some truth bombs.
But going back to the Peninsula Spa, this is what this little pastry is here that I brought you. Because you know what? It may be my birthday coming up, but it was your birthday like a week and a half ago.
Yeah, listeners should know we are 16 days apart in age.
Yeah.
Both of our moms were pregnant at the same time. That was kind of what helped them reconnect after they'd immigrated here. You know, they knew each other. Like, obviously, they were close.
Right.
But my mom lived in Austin. Yours was in Brownsville. And so when they
were both, synced up, bro.
They were synced up like a motherfucker. Because then, both homegirls got pregnant. And then that was kind of what rekindled their own friendship in a lot of
ways. Oh, I didn't know that. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's really sweet.
Yeah. And it was the 90s. We didn't have internet, email. That existed.
Yeah. But
it was the early 90s. So
they'd have to drive 5 hours to see each other.
Yeah.
And they did.
And we did. Yeah. We did that often. But and your parents just landed. And we're going to be going out to dinner with them in a little bit. Yeah.
I know. I love how I just added you to the reservation without even asking you if you were free tonight.
When
I was like, he'll drop what he's doing. He loves a Michelin rated restaurant.
When Julian showed up, I was still in the middle of my workday. I was like on my headset making calls. And
little
then I just
boy.
I just overhear Julian being like, I have a reservation for 8 for 3. Can you change it to 4? And I just turned around and I just like gave him the thumbs up.
Well, your jaw like went slack. You were like, oh no, she didn't. Like that was like totally the expression you were giving me.
I was just like,
shut up, bitch.
Moi?
Yeah.
Me? Because of course, I was going to ask, because I obviously want to see your parents as much as I can while they're here. Mm-hmm. So I was like, well, if I can't go tonight, then let's do something else.
Yeah. And just logistically it made sense because they had to pick me up here and stuff. So I was like, why not just include Brian?
It'd be kind of shitty at that point if I didn't. Like, okay, bye, Brian. Yeah.
So that's nice. But anyway, so the thing I brought you from the peninsula.
Oh, a visual bit for a podcast.
I know. But the way it, you see how it looks like a boater hat? So it's like a little, mm-hmm. it's like a tart of some kind with crystallized sugar on it.
It looks cool. We have to get a photo of this and we'll try to post it with
you. Yeah, there you go. But it's encased so you could put this like white chocolate shell over the actual puff part of
it. Wait, this is edible?
That's edible. That's white chocolate.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, and so every, a lot of the staff at the peninsula wears these boater hats. It looks like plastic. I know. But they all wear these boater hats. So when you put the pastry on the plate, you see, it gives it the effect of being like a little hat.
Yeah, no, it's so cute as hell.
Yeah, that could be a nice little aperitif.
I want to take credit for this is my plate, at least. You put it on one of my plates.
That's true.
Yeah. Well, that's a cool little thing. And
so happy birthday to both of us. I don't know,
do we eat it? Like, I feel bad eating this.
I think we should.
What the fuck is going
to
happen?
Leave it to the libertine of the two of us to be like, yeah, we fucking eat it.
Yeah, maybe.
Anyway, happy birthday to us.
Happy birthday to both of us.
You didn't get a birthday episode, so this could be our joint birthday episode.
No, I just kind of glossed over the birthday episode that we did. I was
humble queen.
Yeah. I don't know. What's there to talk about? It's my birthday. I'm a year older.
Yeah. You're listening to 32 is not sexy.
Right. It's just not. I don't dislike. I've liked my early 30s so far.
You have?
Yeah.
It's been a real slog for me.
Bro. Has it been?
Yeah, a little bit.
Why is that?
I don't have time. If I started now, I wouldn't be finished till I was 40.
Then I'd have a whole new list of complaints for my 40s.
Yeah. I don't know. The highs are high, but the lows are damn low. I could distill it like this. I was talking to my mom about it, and I was like, you know, your 20s, you don't really question your choices or your behavior. I feel like in my 30s, I've really had to reckon with some of my tendencies because I never even questioned them. And I'm like, why do I make that decision over?
Well, part of it too is because as we get older, we can't afford to make mistakes at the same scale.
Yeah.
We don't have as many do-overs.
Hangovers hit harder. You know
what
I mean?
That's part of it.
You're just less durable.
Right.
Yeah.
That's why I feel like I work out now more than ever because I just...
Just to maintain.
Just to keep this body together, man. Just
your
so it
man's body.
Just so it doesn't fall apart on me, you know, just so I can... Thankfully, like, you know, yeah, hangovers, like, hit harder than they do in my 20s. Like,
yeah.
Who isn't that the case for? But yeah. I'm still not at that point where, like, I hate my life.
Right.
Morning, you know?
Yeah. It's just more existential, though, than in my 20s.
Oh, for me, the hardest part of my 30s has been the existential.
Yeah, it's just being like, am I doing the right thing? Why am I here today? What am I doing with my time?
What time do I have?
Motherfucker. Which also makes the gratitude more pronounced, too. I'm like, damn, look at me. I got 10 fingers. I got 10 toes and 2 arms and 2 legs and, you know,
so
3 ears.
You take pleasure in the smaller things then. The things that maybe some of us take for granted, but...
Well, not always. It's not like that's my mode. I have to, like, remind myself that there are things to be grateful for.
But sometimes you can switch on the gratitude a little bit more than you could in your 20s.
Yeah. Just because you're more aware of how fleeting everything is and how precarious it is. We're just on this little, as my dad, how did he say it? It was like a suspended strand of pearls. And I was like, fuck, bitch.
I cannot wait to have
scary
dinner with him tonight. And just get him on that talk track.
He always waxes philosophical.
Just get him on that talk track.
Yeah.
Uncle Jim, what is it? What's up with this crazy cosmos?
Yeah.
And then just hear what he has to say about it. Well,
what were you going to say?
Well, I was just going to say, I feel like you have some things you want to discuss.
Yeah, I do. Well, so first off, there's a... I told you about the big red boot, right?
Yes, I've seen photos. Can you describe this in detail for our listeners who might not know about the big red boot?
So it's...
And I still don't know, and you've explained it to me, so I'd love to hear it again.
The brand, I think, is called Mischief, but with no vowels. Yeah, look it up. M-S-C-H-F.
Why is it just everything is just without vowels?
I know.
Every brand... It's a word with no vowels.
It's all cyclical, though. Vowels will be back in no time. Soon it'll just be vowels.
It'll just be vowels, exactly. Google will just be
hey, ooh. Hiya.
Yeah.
It's me, ooh, yeah.
Yahoo will be ow.
Ow.
That would be a fun company name. All right, so Mischief. Been around, founded in 2016. This is a newer brand.
Uh-huh.
And they're already making hideous clothing. Isn't that something that a brand
Sometimes
does?
Sometimes they make hideous clothing right out the gate, babe.
Yeah, because usually brands wait until they have this great reputation to then make hideous clothing as a departure from what people are used to.
I should
to.
Describe it first, though, before we qualify it as hideous.
Go ahead.
Because visual things are subjective.
Uh-huh.
But
they're great for podcasts.
I know. Well, fuck, ahead. Here we go again. I'm just so visually oriented.
Go ahead.
So this is how I'll describe it.
It's funny because as soon as I Google mischief, the first thing that pops up in the autofill is
big red boots.
Big red boots. All right.
So this is how I'm going to describe them. They're like, they look like a boot that a fireman would wear, but it looks animated.
Clown. Yeah, it looks
It animated. Looks like a cartoon fireman's boot. It's very rubbery looking.
It's Roger Rabbit. It's like it's like we're living in the real world with cartoons.
Totally. And if you look at like Bottega Veneta bags and stuff, they're very, it's like woven leather, but it's really puffy looking.
Mm-hmm.
Like it really looks like someone drew it with a Sharpie or something, which is cool. But these, even though they look like they're made of rubber, you're right. The actual bottom part is clowny.
Mm-hmm.
But then the top part, it's like loose rubber. It doesn't look as form fitting.
Yeah.
I mean, you could almost see like Mickey Mouse wearing these or something.
Yeah, I know. They're very like Disney boots.
They're Disney boots.
No, you described it perfectly. They look like they're animated.
Yeah.
Even in the real world.
Right. Oh, there's another cartoon I'm thinking of, and he's got like the little piquito, the little black hair, and he's shirtless. You know what I'm talking about? No, I'm almost not Captain Underpants, but like I think he's like a Nintendo character, and he's got like kind of like big boy hair, you know, like the big boy burger guy.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
He's got that and like a little like bikini bottom, like a Speedo on and boots.
Wow. What cartoons were you watching?
Gay ones. Just kidding. This is like Super Nintendo or something. But anyway. So you would
Super
never
Nintendo
wear...
Super Nintendo is the gayest of all the consoles, by the way.
Totally.
There's no way.
Yeah, it's less like RPG shooter shit.
It's very cartoony. Yeah, Nintendo's always made like more family-oriented stuff.
A lot more like, at least the one I grew up with, it was like more movie-themed games, you know?
Totally, yeah.
Batman Returns, Home Alone 2.
Oh, God.
I played Aladdin. Those video games. Oh, yeah. Aladdin's my favorite.
Lion King. Yeah, Super Nintendo always, you know, geared towards the family-friendly, which ironically is also gayer.
Right.
The more family friendly, the more gay your cartoon
That's true,
are.
Especially in this culture.
Let's explore that paradox in a future episode.
I know, right?
Yeah.
So you wouldn't wear the big red boots?
No. Look.
Never say never. No, I want to see them on.
No,
me.
I would. Look.
How much are they?
I wouldn't care about where. They're $1,500 motherfucking dollars on StockX. They're discounted.
Right.
They're $1,500.
So retail, they're probably like close to two, maybe $2,100.
Let's see.
I'd want to try them on. I really do like when high fashion plays with like texture and stuff. Like, I just want to touch it.
I am curious.
It's a very tactile thing. Fashion.
What it's made of. I am curious what.
Does it say?
No.
See product details. Click that.
Okay. So I'm not saying that I just wouldn't choose to wear these as part of an ensemble, but if someone was like, hey, I have these big red boots, you want to wear them? Like, I wouldn't care. Like, I'd just be out in public wearing them. I'm sure I'd get stares. That'd be kind of
You
fun.
Really would go around in public?
Yeah, like, I wouldn't
You're
care.
Full of surprises, Brian Bogart.
Yeah.
I did not take you to take those for a
Once
loop.
Again, I'm not going to take it upon myself to buy these and then wear them as a choice, but if someone's like, hey, I have these rare...
Mischief.
You know, boots. Yeah, would you wear them? And I'll be like, fuck it. Like, I don't care.
I bet a lot of your listeners already saw these online. They really did make the rounds.
They did.
I was like, this may be niche. And then I kept just clicking through Instagram and I was like, this boot is everywhere.
You told me about it about a week ago. And then after that, you know, I just see it everywhere.
And now they're like photoshopping photos of like, you know,
yes,
Steve Harvey in his gold suit and these like silly like Popeyes looking boots.
Yeah. So they've definitely made an impact. I will say my listeners are probably more in touch with this stuff than I am in general. So
cool.
They will probably known about this and have formulated.
It's just odd that the ankle part is loose and the actual shoe part looks very taut.
I mean, they look like clown shoes.
Yeah.
Like an elevated
I
clown
just,
shoe.
Yeah, I really need to try them on in person. I can't even get a sense
and
of scale.
And I can't tell if it's plastic. I can't tell
I don't think
if it's
plastic. It wouldn't be that cheap. I think it's rubber and it's probably lined with something.
Rubber, rubber. Yeah, it's definitely, it's got to be lined with something.
Do you have any rubber boots? Do you own any?
No.
You should, Brian.
Why?
Well, sometimes it rains in LA. Like, do you have any rain shoes?
Yeah, I guess I don't.
You should. I have these really stylish, like, Reebok, Vedmont.
I should dress for the weather more. I just have my jeans, my shirt, and, like, whichever jacket.
I mean, you're preaching to someone that will be buried in their Dickies jacket. Okay, that thing is fused to my skin. It's literally on my chair right now.
No, whenever I'm looking for you in a crowd, I'm mostly looking for the Dickies
jacket.
For that
Dickies jacket?
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Thankfully, I wasn't wearing it the night I ran into a former flame of mine.
How's that going?
Good. So it turns out he actually broke up with his boyfriend. I like sleuthed around and the boyfriend posted a super passive aggressive Instagram story.
Oh, hell yeah. It Can you like, please dive into this more?
It was like the Miley Cyrus Flowers lyrics.
Oh my God.
And he was like, yes. Words to live by. And I was like, oh shit. Cause they've been going on like a few years now. So I was like, really? They're so like, that's why I avoided Instagram that whole night. Mm-hmm. I was like, if I go to this guy's profile and see his little circle lit up, even though he never posts stories
on Valentine's Day.
On Valentine's, I'll know exactly what it was.
And I will kill myself.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he never uploaded a story. So I was like, oh, interesting. So then I went to the boyfriend's cause there are websites for you.
And instead of that, it's the flowers.
Yep. Yep.
Which is the furthest from a Valentine's Day post you could
possibly.
I know. Possibly.
I don't know how much I should get into this, but I doubt the dude listens to it. If he didn't listen to me in person, why the fuck is he going to listen to a recording of me?
You don't give a fuck.
Well, yeah. He gives a little bit of a fuck, because now that he's broken up, he checks my shit.
Really?
He does.
Julian.
I know. Yes, I could, like, indulge this fantasy again.
Part of me doesn't want you to go down this rabbit hole again, but part of me is happy for you that, you know...
That I could, like, keep this avatar of desire.
Just
like,
that there's a win in this column when sure, I know that it's been, like...
A series of
L's.
L's, yeah.
But it's not even an L, because, once again, I mean, I could take you through the whole feel-good spiel about how you don't need any of this and you yeah. should put this out of sight, out of mind.
Well, then I can buy myself flowers.
And I've been telling you
write my name in the sand. Talk to myself for hours. Say things he doesn't understand.
And I've been telling you this for 5 years now at this point, so if it ain't stuck in yet, if you can't beat him, just join him. Good for you, Julian. I'm so happy about
really
this.
Really excited about my future with this guy that barely knows my name.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. That felt worth mentioning. I was going to tell you actually before recording, but, you know. But then I was like, well, this is also good chisme. Yeah, you're such a chismosa.
This is a chisme-based podcast.
It is.
Yeah. We like our cheese. We're a pro chisme pod for
totally,
sure.
Totally, totally.
It is a Cuban cousin Kiki, after all.
Yeah, what's a Kiki if not honest?
Yeah.
We're dishing.
And so there's the boots.
There's the boots.
There's your ex.
There's my second chance. Yeah. Exactly.
And then, yeah, what other stories do you have for me?
So maybe once we're done recording, because I know you don't like to get stoned pre-recording or even mid-recording.
I might make an exception.
Well, I want to play you the new Lana Del Rey track. We could smoke while we listen to it, and then you could, like, critique it.
Let's save this for the end when I don't need my mental facilities as much.
I think so.
Which is a perfect segue.
Yeah.
Into our next segment.
Yeah.
News from the motherland.
Yeah.
That motherland being Cuba. At the Copacabana.
That classic Cuban song.
Yeah.
By Barry Manilow, right?
Yeah, exactly.
By Barry Manilow.
Oh, he sings
Barry,
a version.
But all your body.
Yeah, Barry Manilow.
Barry Manilow. All right, tell it to me. Tell it to me, Gabe.
We got a couple stories.
Okay.
One that I feel like I have to bring up because we are the Guantanamo Bays.
Hey.
But apparently the Guantanamo Bay prison facility is experiencing a massive COVID outbreak. Lawyers say the massive outbreak puts already unwell detainees at further risk in camp where medical care is poor. We saw this already a lot in the first wave of COVID. They released a number of inmates, at local prisons and jails during the initial COVID wave. And now Guantanamo Bay being as isolated as it is, seems like it's, you know, virus has made its way
right.
to Gitmo now. I don't expect any of these people to be released. What do you make of that? What do you make of the fact that now Guantanamo Bay is dealing with the same COVID outbreak that a lot of other prisons, a lot of other places around the world have experienced. And now, you know, prison medical care is already famously
shit.
Bad.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's even worse
mm-hmm.
in secret prisons.
I've pretty much said already that, like, if you're alive and a prisoner, it's up to society to, like, actually take care of you.
In what way?
Despite your transgressions.
Like,
well, like, prisons, it's kind of that argument of like defund the police or give them more money. And I think it's how you allocate those resources. Like, you know, I guess I'm saying give these prisons, and also just there needs to be a total shift in their management style, of course. Mm-hmm. But I would give them money and then try to figure out a way to ensure that they actually use it productively. So that way when there's any kind of outbreak of illness in the prison, they could transfer the prisoners wherever they need to go.
There's definitely a lack of resources when it comes to dealing with something like this.
And I don't give a shit if it's like a rural part of Cuba. There are ways. Mm-hmm. Especially when you have that much money. Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just a waste of resources, ultimately.
Right. Defund the police was kind of like the battle cry the last couple of years.
Yeah.
But maybe, you know, but like defund is a very broad term. So I think maybe demilitarize is
a better... way works for me.
Yeah.
And demilitarize prisons while you're at it.
Because we, if anything, we should, you know, Chris Rock had said, and I've made this argument before too, but he had it recorded for a special, so he gets the credit. But it was a great point of, I think we should pay police more. Because you get what you pay for.
Right.
And, you know, that's the kind of profession where we can't afford to have bad apples.
Right. Same with teachers.
Right.
I think they're kindred with
of course.
That. And same with doctors. I was going to say lawyers. And
yeah.
They should work exclusively pro bono.
Lawyers are paid enough.
Yeah. But doctors, for sure.
Yeah.
They all kind of fall into that umbrella of essential. Well, if only there was a term.
Yeah.
Essential workers.
Ooh, the hot. Hot. Yeah. We should try that. We should roll that out.
Yeah.
See how people feel about
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's one story from Cuba. You know, thoughts and prayers to anyone dealing with the COVID outbreak in Guantanamo, whether it is the prison complex or the city itself, which is a city, you know, like people think Guantanamo is just the prison.
Fuck, I'm stupid.
Yeah.
I was like the rural, you know.
No, Nana, boondocks. You know, Yolanda, who is like my co-grandmother.
She's from there?
She's from Guantanamo.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. So I was raised by...
Shame what they've done with it.
The Guantanamo Bay.
To quote Lauren Bacall when she was talking about Los Angeles in like the 30s and 40s, before they built the freeway, she was like, oh, you couldn't imagine how beautiful it was before the freeway.
Oh,
that's how I feel
sure.
about Guantanamo Bay. Like, you can't imagine how beautiful it was before the prison.
What did it look like, Julian? I don't know. I wasn't there.
But I'm picturing a lot more trees.
You're probably right. I'm guessing in order to construct the prison facility, some trees did in fact have to be cut down.
That's some wet land down there, Dad.
You're probably right.
We're still talking about Cuba, right? Gets damp.
And here's something else, too. Apparently, immigrating out of Cuba is nothing new.
Mm-hmm.
We are the offspring of Cuban exiles. But the people are now leaving in record numbers.
Mm.
It seems like things have gone from bad to worse domestically.
Yikes.
Or... And I don't know if it's things have gotten that much worse domestically, or if maybe more of an opening, you know, more of open relations between the U.S. and Cuba these days.
It's just transition, or
yeah, or maybe it just allows people to take their chance to leave when they can.
Oh, I see.
You know, maybe people see more of an opening now that relations have begun to normalize a lot more than they were even a few years ago. So people are now leaving Cuba in record numbers. And Cuba is now seeing its largest exodus of people last year, in the last year since Castro's revolution in the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
So now record numbers since literally the time that our parents immigrated. I don't know why. What's reported on Al Jazeera is that it's just become a political crisis for the U.S. And Biden has announced new measures to kind of curb. More visas are going to be granted. For people going through official channels.
Cool.
Our family's made up of people who went through official and unofficial channels
right.
when it came to immigrating.
Right.
And those who just turn up at the border will face harsher action now, which I shudder to think what that could mean. But
oh, really?
Yeah.
So more visas, but also more of a strict
yeah.
security
you're getting a sweeter carrot and a harder stick.
That doesn't sound so bad.
Yeah. Julian, once again. But yeah, you know, I guess, you know, people are wondering, and it seems like this is kind of a result of worsening conditions domestically. I mean, it's sad.
It is sad.
It's sad. I don't want the nation of Cuba to...
Also, the less people that are there, I mean, I don't know how much more it could be run into the ground, but
mm-hmm.
it does open itself up more to, you know, intervention.
Well, or it could just face a whole demographic collapse. There are a lot
yeah.
of countries that are you know, we people are having fewer kids worldwide, and that's like a good, that's good news in a lot of ways because it kind of curbs overpopulation. And at the same time, though, you're not having people replace people who would age out of their working years.
Right.
So maybe automation is going to play such a large...
I mean, even here, we have a pretty low young population.
We do. But what America's ace up our sleeve is our immigration policy. Mm. That we are pretty open with our immigration... And that, thank God, immigrants want to come here.
Yeah. Good branding.
Great branding.
Yeah.
China is facing a demographic crisis. Russia has long been facing a demographic crisis that is now being expedited with hundreds of thousands.
It's just so cold. I'm sure Putin's fine, but fuck, it's cold.
No, yeah. Do you think Putin is handsome?
No, I think he was. Mm-hmm. He was no Netanyahu. Ooh, young Netanyahu could get it, Brian.
I've never seen young Netanyahu.
Fuck the Zionism out of that man.
Wow, I did
what
not know.
What a stud.
Netanyahu
He looks
so
like a
handsome.
Movie star from the 50s.
He really does.
He looks like Anthony Perkins.
Damn, and he wants to blow shit up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I could change him.
Joanna, you know how many people have told him that? So, yeah, you know...
Those are both sad news items from the motherland. Well, I hope we have one week that's like...
There's not a ton of positive news. The best news to come out of Cuba is that Elian Gonzalez is running for Cuban parliament.
I was going to say, this all leads me to say Elian 2024.
Elian 2024. I don't even care what your platform is, Elian.
You got like two votes. He's like a fascist hard right
wing. Yeah, we will write in your name, buddy.
He's like,
long.
The Uyghurs must die.
Los Uyghurs?
Yeah, Los Uyghurs.
So that's the, you know, little depressing news from the motherland. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of great news comes out of Cuba very often, but that's why we gotta air it out, because it's gotta be talked about. Cuba's not a country that gets a ton of press anyways.
Right, it's so insulated.
So it's up to us
to make up the news items.
It is.
Yeah, I don't know what this means for Cuba's future, but... I salute them.
But the
I
world
really
does,
wish them well.
You know, the world Maybe. Faces a demographic crisis.
Right.
You know. So with that said, you have a new segment, or it's a segment that we rolled out last week.
Yeah, boogie boogie bum bum.
Can we sing the song?
Yeah,
1, 2, 3.
Boogie boogie bum bum. Yes, this is the segment where I read Brian a news item, and then he gives his thoughts. And while he's giving his thoughts, he's multitasking and looking for a song that the news item reminds him of.
I'm ready.
Okay, cool. So I can't find a specific headline, but Jill Biden and Doug Emmett kissed at the State of the Union. I know this is old news, but did you see that?
No.
It was like quite awkward. Yeah. They kissed on the lips.
Okay. Jill Biden, Doug Emhoff share unexpected kiss.
Father of Ella.
Uh-huh. Was it on the lips? I didn't know about
that. Yeah,
this.
It was on the lips. Check out the video.
Damn, Joe. You gonna stand by and let that happen? Yeah, that's fascinating. So...
Did you see the video?
I'm looking it up right now. The First Lady. All right, this is... And Jill Biden, you know, she's a nice-looking older woman, you know?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Come on, Brian. You can be more of a dog about that. She's hot.
I want
Jill's a pill, babe. I don't know what that means. I guess that means she's a handful.
I want to describe her in a way that befits her station. You know, her status as First Lady and her doctorate. So that's why I defer to nice-looking older woman. But if she didn't have that PhD, though, I'd be saying some nasty things
right
now.
She's a honeypot, yeah.
Yeah, she a honeypot. But, all right, this is tricky. What does Jill Biden... and Doug Emhoff kissing make me think of?
And was it, did you see the video?
I did.
What do you think happened? It was just a miscalculation on both their parts? Were their lips just touched?
I don't know. It looked pretty coordinated. It looked pretty like, come here. You know, it looked pretty, I put out my lips, you put out yours, and they touch, and that's what we expected.
Yeah. Has that ever happened to you where you like go in to hug someone and your lips touch?
Not
quite like that, right? I mean, that was like dead center.
No, that was purposeful.
I don't think so.
Really?
They know their cameras, even if it was like some solicitous affair.
Yeah, but Tom Brady kisses his kids on the lips in front of the cameras. He records himself kissing his kids on the lips. So there's like this whole movement of normalizing lip kissing in a platonic way.
No,
I'm not on board with.
But I don't think that's an example of it. Like, the first lady and the second gentleman or whatever.
Man, what do the four of them get up to? What do
from what
Jill, Joe, Kamala,
and swingers?
That'd be some great White House
fan fiction. Some hot, hot goss. That would rival the Trump piss tape.
It would. It
wouldn't beat it, but it would rival it.
It would put Clinton to shame.
Yeah.
The stuff that he's done. I mean, that'd be... I like thinking of, like, Joe being more fast and loose in his social affairs than he presents himself. Of course. Well, and like, Joe is no stranger to weird kisses on the lips. Maybe Jill's doing this
to get back at him,
or just to take the heat off of him.
That time you kissed that golden retriever on television, Joe.
Or just being like, hey, I know that people think my husband's weird for doing this. I'm going to do it now so they won't think he's weird for doing it.
That would be very savvy of her. She's a savvy woman.
Shit, I might have cracked the code on this one.
I think it was a genuine mistake, but they took it in such good stride. That was what was weird about it. That's what makes it look intentional. They hardly have like a moment of like visible recovery.
Yeah, that's why I think maybe not like coordinated, but maybe that's just their normal way of greeting each other.
That's so European.
It feels very European.
You know what I mean? It was so French.
And you know what?
I can see like Macron's skanky wife doing
that. Well, you know, they live by different rules over there.
Right.
But because of the fact that it is so European, this is a very clumsy...
Okay.
This is a very clumsy one.
What is it? What's the song you have?
I'm just going to go ahead and whip it out.
Sure.
An honor.
That's pretty A to C, but... Okay.
Maybe Jill Biden is Barbie, but... You know, because she's a girl living in her fantasy world, but really it's just like the European... So it's like,
let's go to the Jefferson Memorial.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, obviously the European influences of the Europop band Aqua, and that's what made me think.
Oh, I see. Okay, I respect that. Okay. I have,
Ooh, I love this song!
I'm ready for it to come... Hold on.
It's a longer intro than you think.
Is it?
But, no, it happens right now. Now, this magic moment, so different and so new.
Come on, that's such a good song.
That is, the drift.
That kind of...
You can't beat Motown.
You really can't.
You just can't. That was my first genre of music that made me like music.
It's heart swelling.
It is.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I just love doo-wop. I love Motown. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and this magic moment, you know, Jill Biden, Doug Emhoff.
Strange and so new, at least to the public eye.
So different and so new.
So different and so new. I'm pretty good with lyrics. This is why I introduced this segment, is because I'm particularly good at this.
Yeah. Good job, Jules. Good
thank
job,
you,
Jules.
Brian.
Yeah, great. Well, thank you for that. That was a fun one. I think you have one more news.
I have one more for you. My mom actually emailed this to me and was like, this would be great for the podcast.
Really?
Yeah.
Did she listen to the new episode with Bogey Bogey Bum Bum?
Or yeah.
Okay, cool.
Although she didn't specify this should be Bogey Bogey Bum Bum.
Cool.
But she was like, this is worth talking about with Brian. So it's a New York Times article and it's captioned, or it's titled, What the World Can Learn from Gay Straight Friendships.
Oh. Well, just look at us.
Let's see. New research suggests that the friendship dynamic between gay men and straight men isn't just valuable for a few of us. A 2022 study in psychology found that these friendships can help shift gay guys' understandable preconceptions about straight men.
We're so ahead of our time. I'm just going to say it.
You and I were?
Oh, totally.
Well, I think we're reflective of our time. Not like I was out with you when we were 14.
It's true. You didn't come out until you were in college. And we know
the family,
We've known each other our whole lives, and you didn't come out to me until you were 20.
Yeah,
yeah.
But I agree with. So it's like, that. For example, not all straight men are homophobic. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh my god, that's so something I learned.
Was
from
that mind blowing?
Like, he's
when
not
he
going to kill me.
He's not going to. But also, me in the public square.
But also, we're cousins.
Yeah.
So that's why you wouldn't kill me. But then I met your straight friends, some of whom I've been with, and and I was like, yeah, they're not going to kill me. They may still strangle me, but it's going to be on my terms just as much as theirs.
Yeah, it's out of love.
It's out of love.
It's a love-based strangulation.
So I do think that this is kind of encouraging. Let's see. Straight men may find it easier to be vulnerable with their gay friends. Even though this guy was there, let's see. It's possible that expressing vulnerability has positive spillover effects. Duh. Heterosexual men who have close friendships with gay guys may wind up having less fear about being more open with their straight guy friends. Hmm. So you're welcome for fixing toxic masculinity.
Yeah. You're welcome, America. Well, you know, I'm going to take some time to calibrate and think of my song, but do you have a song in mind for this one?
I think I do. All right.
I'm just trying to think of what song makes me think of... You know what? I think I know which one it would be, actually.
Okay, I'm gonna do this one first.
Isn't that so good?
Oh, you're nailing it with these songs right here.
I just want that first line.
Love. Love will keep us together. Watch me suck dicks whenever. Then I'll go to your house and watch
Joey, this
football.
Is getting bad. Well, that's, yeah, that Captain and Tennille, same era. And you know what? This song will come from the same era,
oh,
actually.
You know, I love the
from
70s.
The incomparable Bill Withers.
Yes.
Lean on Me.
Da, da, da.
By one of the...
So crazy that Bill Withers is Reese Witherspoon's dad.
I know. Who knew? Fact checkers.
Bold of her to bring back the spoon.
So... Let me just get to the chorus.
There you are.
Here it comes.
Lean on me.
Whether you're gay or maybe you're straight, either way it is cool.
Please help my girlfriend shop.
So I won't have to shop with her boring ass. Not my girlfriend, just the general girlfriend out there.
Yeah. The old ball and chain.
Ah, yeah. Well, that's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was Bogey Bogey.
Bogey Bogey
Bum Bum. Thank you for
Can you
two.
Feel the structure just revealing itself the more we do these? It's so satisfying.
Yeah. And I hope you are.
It's not just a train off its tracks anymore.
Anymore. And we get off the tracks here and there, but that's part of the fun.
Yeah.
That's part of the fun. Well, we have a few minutes here, and we're going to do our final segment of the pod. It's one of my favorites. It's called The World According to Jules. I will read Julian. Julian, get off of him. Get off of him. All right. I'm going to read...
I love the idea of just a man sitting in this room.
Who's just been hanging out this whole time.
He's like, God damn it, this is the worst job ever. It's like, so pretty much what's going to happen is I'm going to hump you. Brian's going to try to keep me from humping you.
Yeah. here's what we're going to do. I'm going to read Julian a handful of articles from the week that was. From the week that is.
The week that was a new memoir. Brian Boker.
For some reason, that will be my memoir title. I just know it will be. But I'm going to read him these articles. Julian is inherently a very reactive person, and he's going to give me his...
Fuck you!
Okay, Julian, you are not helping your case. I'm going to read him these articles. He's going to give me his gut reaction. No thought at all involved in these reactions. And he's just going to go straight to the source. So I'm looking for not an intellectual response. I'm looking for an emotional response here.
Okay.
So with that said, it is about one of your least favorite topics here, uh-oh, but we're going to do it. Tesla, because you hate Elon Musk, uh-huh, which, you know, he
and Teslas are ugly. Keep
Tesla recalls 362,758 vehicles, says the full self-driving beta software may cause crashes.
Pay up.
Pay up.
Pay up.
Who pays?
I don't know.
Someone's got to pay someone.
I'm just saying, I had bets going.
Bets going on what?
That these things were totally fallible. Also, if all the cars are on the same network, you seen Minority Report, motherfucker? Like, shit like that? All it takes is one hacker to fuck up the network of these computerized automatic cars.
Yeah.
One of my friends yesterday uploaded a video of a man driving and his feet were hanging out the side window.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he had his feet up.
Mm-hmm.
By the side view mirror.
Yeah. He was doing the self-driving?
I think it was a BMW.
Oh.
Do those self-drive?
I don't know.
It was obnoxious as fuck.
Well, BMW
is inherent.
As if we couldn't
be more checked out as a civilization. Like, I understand that, like, it maybe... Yeah, I don't even think it minimizes car accidents. At this point,
Do we even have proof of that? Like,
fuck well, no. they yeah, in a lot of the beta tests, and there's a difference between the testing and the rollout, but they do feel very good about how self-driving cars have handled, you know,
potential collisions.
Yeah, potential collisions, exactly. So there is a good, you know, good data and science backing that self-driving cars are probably almost definitely going to be the way of the future. And that it will overall minimize accidents, but this is the beta rollout for a reason. And, now we have this recall. And you know, to your point about the BMW driver, that just sounds like really any BMW driver. Mm-hmm. That's BMW and Mercedes drivers, especially white Mercedes, my least favorite.
Interesting. Type of people on the road. I have a thing with Lexus drivers for some reason.
Lexus is up there and Tesla's up there. Yeah. Tesla's been earning their keep as one of the more obnoxious drivers.
It's an obnoxious car. I mean, that iPad that's in your face. Mm-hmm. Like, one of my favorite things about driving is, like, I get to look outside while I'm moving quickly. Like, that's so wonderful.
I love that. Never change, Julian. So pay
sometimes
up.
Sometimes I just gotta drive, baby.
Someone...
Not ride. Drive.
So someone owes Julian money somewhere. he predicted this.
One of your
this.
Gambling friends. I don't know. The ones that come in and wife beaters like it's a Tennessee Williams play.
Which of my friends actually does that?
You boys want more egg salad sandwiches?
Get in the kitchen, Blanche.
You're hurting me.
The boys are watching the Super Bowl. Come here's
on, let's a kiss. It's like, hey, no one want that that sack of baggage, Blanche.
You ready for your next story?
Yeah, I'm over Teslas. That's my takeaway from this.
I know. You're over Elon.
I'm over Elon.
Most of us are.
Yeah. I do like that they open, like, butterfly wings. At least the SUVs.
That's the Tesla cool. X.
Uh-huh.
My mom
like
has
that
one.
She has, like, the SUV one?
She has the one that the doors
rich,
open
bro?
On the sides. She is. She did very well for herself, but... yeah, and I'll be honest, those doors are more trouble than they're worth.
Oh, I'm sure. In LA, forget about
it. She's looking to trade. Well, and that's the thing. They don't really open up wide, so they actually don't... You'd be surprised how little space they take up when they open.
Oh, then I'm too fat to fit. It's one or the other.
Julian, I swear to God. But they, So it's not really the space is the issue, but it's just they're very cumbersome, you know. Mm. So they're just a little hard to manage, and she's actually looking to trade in her Tesla X for that reason, mm-hmm. For one where the doors open more conventionally. Mm-hmm. Here's a sad one. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
We already knew some version of this, but I think it's like when HIV turns to AIDS. Bruce Willis has dementia.
Oh yeah, that's old news, babe.
Well, he had aphasia. Which kind of has dementia-like symptoms, but today it was announced
came out that today.
Right, that he now has full-blown dementia.
Couldn't they have waited till after my birthday?
This was pretty selfish on their part, all
right? Day. While I was at tea, like, come on, read the room. Read the tea room, babe.
Read the tea leaves, read the room. Here's kind of like one of the more interesting, like maybe, I don't even know if you'd call this positive elements of it, but Bruce Willis had... signed off on an AI company to generate his likeness family can continue to profit from his films.
Man.
And maybe they might.
What's the worst that could happen? He's like, Bruce Willis for BP oil.
Yeah, probably, you know, something like that. So
I'd like to think Scout and Rumor and Tallulah all have good judge of how to use his likeness.
Yeah, his kids with Demi Moore.
You know?
Right?
Yeah.
So, well, you know, your reaction.
I mean, listen, you could tell by the filmography that things have been off for a while. You know what I mean? He does these, like, straight-to-video things.
Right. He packed in...
Which is worrisome. I'm like, would he fully agree to that if he wasn't in the right state of mind? Like, he had a brand to maintain. He's a movie star.
When he was diagnosed with aphasia, people looked at his film career, especially the last 2 years, more closely. He had done, like, 10 to 15 films in the course of like a year.
That's not good.
They were all more or less straight to
very
video.
Like Steven Seagal.
He's kind
of in that tier.
He's having a Steven Seagal phase. and then when he was...
Aren't we all, babe?
When the aphasia...
It's like, Julian, the ponytail looks good. Sorry, keep going.
No, when the aphasia was announced, people were like, oh my God, they were clearly just trying to cash in on his...
Wow. So that's his kids too?
I don't know. You know, probably his manager, his agents. I'd like to think...
That's a bad rumor. That's a bad, bad rumor.
Rumor Willis.
Rumor yeah. Willis, that is.
Yeah. I was like, wait, I think this is all pretty fact-checked.
It kind of reminds me of the Richard Simmons story, too.
Ooh.
Where they're just kind of these, potentially malevolent caretakers and...
Right, it was speculated that...
just wringing him dry.
That Richard Simmons is... They blamed his housekeeper for his reclusiveness, right? And his...
Whereas, like, Bruce Valanche, the comedian, was like, no, I think he's, like, transitioning. He's, like, a woman. Like, he's just, like, hanging out at home.
Or
like,
they also theorized that he didn't want people to watch him get old. That
the Chador.
Right. that he was...
Same bitch.
He was the... He just wants people to remember him as Richard Simmons.
Yeah.
Richard Simmons is damn near 80 now.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's really hard to imagine that 80-year-old Richard Simmons...
That is, in a way, the end of the opposite end of the spectrum from doing these straight to video releases, like, you know, five of them a
instead
year.
Of overly publicizing yourself.
Yeah, just to, like...
take a step back.
Go into the cave. And I think that'd be best for... Bruce Willis again, because that was a sterling brand, sterling image.
It was. He was.
And I like Bruce Willis. He's such a Jersey boy, you know.
He's the Bruce Springsteen of movies.
Ooh,
yeah.
Meets like John Bon Jovi.
Damn. Yeah.
They're all such Jersey boys. Yeah, oh my god, I love that as a title.
The
Jersey boys.
Has anyone had the rights?
Has anyone done this? We could get, I don't know, like a Frankie Valli song or something.
Yeah, Bruce Willis has the maybe the grit of the Bruce Springsteen brand with the
kitsch.
With the pop
of the Bon Jovi.
And the action of the Bon Jovi brand.
Damn.
Bruce, are you listening?
I just hope he is okay and that it's he's as comfortable as can be.
Who knows how long, you know, the world has with Bruce Willis, and it's kind of sad to think of a world where, like, we can't... You know, Jack Nicholson has stepped back from movies because he has memory issues. I think he has...
Well, and also, apparently, this is according to Marc Maron, he doesn't want to do any because, like, he's like, no, my filmography is pretty perfect. Like, and what a better... Jack Nicholson.
Oh, yeah.
And what a better movie to go out on than The Bucket List.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
That's perfect. It's emblematic of, like, listen, I'm old.
It's a literal cherry on top.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm literally making a movie about me dying. You know?
Yeah.
So, take that for what it's worth, people. I'm going to just keep going to Lakers games. Which I hear he's you know, kind of, he's not out there as much, too.
I want Bruce Willis to, like, pair up with, like, Darren Aronofsky. Super light schedule. You know, he's only needed, like, 3 days as, like, the patriarch, the crumbling patriarch.
Mm.
So, like, he doesn't have a lot of scenes. They could feed him all the lines through an earpiece.
He has his
needy.
He has his Mickey Rourke moment.
Yes.
Well, and so that's what they say. It was, like, working with him in these last 10 or so films that he's done.
Mm.
Like, they kept on having to reduce his lines. He kept forgetting them. And he would, like, get cranky. And it was just apparently just a really bad environment for him to be in. And so that's why I just feel so sad thinking about the people who are, like, trying to turn and burn all these films.
That's so fucked up.
Yeah.
I know. I'm like, let the man rest.
Let him rest.
Take him a nice...
Hasn't he done enough for you?
Yeah.
Hasn't he bled for you?
Yeah.
Enough. Well, we love Bruce Willis.
We love Bruce Willis.
And my father's name is Bruce, so I'm always inclined to root for people who are named
Bruce. Yeah. Oh, and so this is actually a nice little segue, because once we're finished here, we're going to listen to the Lana track.
Apparently it's a 7-minute song.
It's a 7-minute song. The first half is, like, really, like, melancholic, and then the second half is, like, kind of a banger. And she talks about Jimmy. As you know, that's my father's name. Mm-hmm. By birth, on his birth certificate. That's how Texan he is.
That is fucking hilarious.
Jimmy Raymond.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So,
Not James.
Not James.
Your father's name is not James.
Jimmy Raymond.
And then he formalized it to Jim as he aged.
As he entered the professional realm of lawyer.
As he became the city attorney of Brownsville, Texas. Oh. He was like, maybe Jimmy Goza's... people aren't taking Jimmy Goza too seriously. That's not the name of a city attorney.
Yeah. But anyway, that's one of the reasons I like this song. I'm like, that's my daddy.
That's cool. You ready for your final story?
Oh, sure.
I want the gut reaction.
Okay, because I got to pee so bad.
Okay, fine. We'll knock this out. We're going to have a frantic ending to World According to Jules.
That's okay.
Scientology leader, David Miscavige.
Missing.
I wish.
Oh, is anyone missing?
No. Considered legally served in Australian human trafficking case. Your thoughts?
Not bad for a penal colony.
Mm. But yeah, not bad for a penal... Good job, Australia.
Good job, Australia.
If anyone knows how to bring people to justice, you guys have seen both sides of that coin, you know? So
yeah, that's from the few... And never mind. And I was going to say keep it in the Commonwealth, but nah, we're not going to hold that line.
And I appreciate that, like, we don't give a fuck about your power in America, you know?
That's a really good Australian accent, Brian.
I don't know if it is.
It was.
Oh, thank you. Well, we're going to serve you with these legal papers.
I think it's much easier than Scottish. Scottish is a lot more.
Scottish is tricky.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great Scottish
accent. Thank you.
Don't change a thing.
Thank you. I practice making that sound often.
Straight, gay, friendships.
Look at us curing cancer.
Well, cool. I know you got to pee. You have any final thoughts, Jules?
No.
Get me the
My
fuck
final thought
out
is
of
I gotta fucking pee, bitch.
Well, I'll let you get to it. From the Guantanamo Bay's podcast, I'm Brian Bogart.
I'm Julian Goza.
Thank you, and good night. So, and kind of an unexpected epilogue of our evening, you ended up showing me the Lana Del Rey song you were talking about earlier in the episode.
Yeah.
A&W. She had a new album come out recently, or is this a single?
It's a single. Her album comes out March 24th.
Okay. Let's just set the stage for what happened. As soon as we stopped recording, we're about to go out to dinner, so
yeah.
I showered real quick.
Real quick.
You thought I took a long time.
You're gayer than I am. You were in there forever.
And I told you.
I was fully expecting to come out with hair rollers.
I told you. Well, it's gross, but like I hadn't showered in a couple days, so I had to take like, and I had to shave my neckline.
So it takes you longer to bathe the same body?
I shaved
my... But you get fatter too? I don't understand.
You bitch. I shaved my neckline too. You know, that adds time.
That's true.
One thing we
clarify. It's a good shave. It's a close shave.
Thanks. I do it all from feel.
Wait, all right. Lana, we always do this around.
Well, so I did what you wanted me to do. We got stoned.
And listened to all 7 minutes and 20 seconds of
right.
A&W.
But you made me sit down. Like, you were like, Brian, come on. I'm like, I was like, I can listen to the song. You're like, no, you have to sit and watch the lyrics as
yeah.
they come up. So I just want to set the stage. That was the experience that we just had for the last 7.5 minutes.
We were mostly quiet.
Completely. Yeah. So, what do you want to know from me?
First off, did you like the song?
I did like the song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because her melodies are slower, but they're just so
It has two parts. You know, it has the kind of the sad beginning part that
Very
turns
sad.
Into literally a sex jam.
Yeah.
It goes from a sad song about sex addiction to a full-blown, like bump music.
Does that mean like music to fuck to?
I just invented it.
It's called bump music.
Well,
I love that.
No, bump. I was thinking like bump and grind.
Oh, I see. That makes sense.
But just kind of doing shorthand for it.
Right.
But yeah, so I mean, as a song, I liked it.
Yeah.
And
I love her. I love everything
I
she does.
Yes. But you like some things more than others.
Yes, but I like her like more experimental tracks like this that like are really long and like there's like a dance break or like a really long guitar solo. I'm a sucker for that shit. And I love how her voice goes from angelic falsetto to like menacing and low.
In the Lana canon, because, and I don't know the details, I just know this secondhand from you.
Uh-huh.
I know she was with the producer that made a lot of her early hits with her. She changed producers, her latter albums were not thought of as like you didn't like them as much. A lot of Lana fans I know didn't like them as much.
No, I really liked her last two albums.
But right, so where does this sit now? Where is she on her,
oh,
her highs and lows right now? Is this like,
I've only heard two tracks from this upcoming album.
Uh-huh.
But they're both so different. The first single that came out is called Did You Know There's a Tunnel Under Ocean Boulevard?
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually about a tunnel in Long Beach that's completely encased.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently it's beautiful. You can't get inside, but it has these
tunnel
gorgeous
in Long Beach.
Yeah,
I lived in Long
under
Beach.
Ocean Boulevard.
I lived on like on Ocean.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's completely underground.
Right by
and it's been sealed up.
Oh.
And so
I mean,
she just saw the metaphorical quality of that and wrote about it.
I wouldn't know where it is because that is right on, you know, the beach where like the entrance is to the walkway on the beach and everything. Mm-hmm. So I mean like I lived on top of that tunnel. I didn't know it was even fucking there.
There you go.
Yeah.
So this would rank about right in the middle for me. This is like, you know,
okay.
If it was on a scale of like 5 being the absolute best, this is like a 3.5.
Okay.
But most of her stuff exists for me between a 3.5 and a 5.
So, okay.
Like
okay.
The poppier stuff tends to be my least favorite.
And I hate to say it, but like, and maybe this makes me basic as fuck, but my favorite song of hers is Diet Mountain Dew.
Diet Mountain Dew, baby, New York City.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a jam.
It is a jam. It's just so different, I think, from her current sensibility and maybe her overall sensibility.
No, it is. And like, I'm the idiot who still wishes Taylor Swift was a country singer.
Yeah.
Like, I...
No, I get that one.
Yeah. But no, yeah, that's more, and I forget like off the top of my head, but no, she has a lot of jams that I like. I understand, like, But she's a cult of personality.
And it's gotten more literary. Like, now she'll talk about how she has these benders at the Ramada, somewhere more, in Rosemead.
It's more story-driven these
days. Mm-hmm. Yes. And that's arguably her greatest influence over the music and pop culture.
It kind of sounds like she's singing, like, an autobiography. Maybe her earlier hits. You still felt the very personal nature in her early hits. It still told a story, but now she's
And it also followed a more conventional pop structure. Whereas now you have more like meandering verses and interludes and all sorts of things.
But the second half of that song like played to the...
Oh, it's a pussy popper.
Right, yeah. It played to the pop conventions, you know, so...
I suppose, yeah. But it's still like pretty grimy and like slow at times. It's also interesting that first half when she's singing about being at the Ramada and fucking countless men and stuff, she brings up... Forensic Files and the movie Diary of a Teenage Girl. Did you ever see that with Kristen Wiig?
No.
It's really good.
Diary of a Teenage Girl?
Yes.
Huh. When did it come out?
2017 maybe.
And I've seen my obscure Kristen Wiig films too.
You have?
Yeah.
We should watch. It's pretty good. Right. But anyway, it's interesting that both of those things are arguably about women that are either promiscuous or viewed as promiscuous, right, and then they get into trouble. Mm-hmm. Whether that's Forensic Files or... Diary
Forensic Files. I didn't know that was a common theme.
Well, when you think about, you know, dead prostitutes and stuff, I feel like that's just... Or, you know, girls that go missing because, as she says in the song, it's like you should have... She was asking for it. You should have seen what she looked
like. Yeah, she talked about that.
You know?
Yeah. And
that's what's so interesting to me about it. Like, that's what resonates with me about it is, like, the self-objectification of it all.
Yeah.
And also the moments of being like, I'm still a child. Mm. You know, I'm still breakable.
Mm. She's still talking about, you know, like, I haven't seen my mom in a long time.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're all just children who want our mommy.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm also battling a crippling sex addiction at the same time.
And maybe I get my sex addiction from my mom. I think there's, like, elements of that. She's always talking about reckoning with her, quote-unquote...
We all get sex addiction from our parents.
Yeah. Yeah, reckoning with her karmic lineage. I don't know. I could talk about her forever. We might as well just have... I mean... I feel like I could literally teach a graduate course on Lana Del Rey. I feel like
there will be, you know, if there are graduate courses on like the Klingon language, and there are already college course on Little Kim. So if you're gonna make, you might as well do one about Lana too.
Yeah, I compare her to David Bowie in that like they are they became these personas, like even in their own daily life, like when they're just hanging out at home,
right?
Like the persona was so fully realized that it transcended their prior self.
Yeah, and
she also agrees with that, which blew my mind at first, but I thought about it. She was like, "It's not a character. Like I am not Lizzie Grant. I'm Lana Del Rey," and I think she,
David Bowie is Ziggy Stardust?
Yeah.
Or David Bowie as David Bowie, you know.
Yeah. I wonder if that was even his birth name. Maybe it was, but...
Good question, actually.
Just totally...
you change your name and then change your name again and then go back to
Because Ziggy Stardust is more like a character, I think, within the Uber. Because then he has the White Knight, or the White Duke, Thin White Duke, who's maybe my favorite iteration of a Bowie character. But So anyway, go listen to A&W, guys. It's fucking gritty. It like starts very sad and...
And then just
becomes, before you know it, you're doing snail trails on the carpet.
Just becomes
like a nasty little pug in a living room.
So I hope y'all enjoyed the epilogue of the Guantanamo Bay's podcast.
Yeah, let them live their lives, these
Grant,
poor people.
If you could put in a little snippet of the song, probably before the segment would be ideal so people aren't just completely lost. We'd appreciate it.
But also give her the streams.
And give her more money. She needs it. So she could buy more poppers. What does she do?
Poppers.
Poppers is more of a...
I think she likes her pills. I think she likes cigarettes.
Said poppers because it's a funny sounding thing to buy.
Yeah. Also, when I say she likes pills, I think she's on like mood stabilizers. Probably. I don't think it's fair for me to speculate about this, and I don't think she'd like for me to.
Yeah.
Because I respect her a lot, but that would just be my like guess. Maybe booze from time to time, but I know she also is sober at times. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's kind of like me. She's an all or nothing girl. You know.
Yeah.
We both live with our hearts on our sleeves.
You relate to her
in so many ways.
I know. I know. I love it. I'm just happy to see things that bring you joy.
I mean, hello, like a thick gay Latino. Like, of course I'm going to love Lana Del Rey. That's like 3/4 of her fan base. It's like guys from East LA named Archie, you know, that like...
Oh my god.
That looked like the little homies.
The homies action figures.
Yeah, the little action figures you buy from the coin.
All the people that live around Dodger Stadium for the most part.
Yeah, exactly. But gay.
Yeah. No, that was... Those are people I've come to love in my years in LA.
Also, thanks for being an ally, Brian. This really is cultivating our straight friendship.
As soon as you
straight gay friendship alliance.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we're doing the hard work, and it's funny that like as soon as I sat down, you were like, you know what, this is you being an ally. Like you told me that right before we watched it. So, yeah, happy to help out the cause any way that I can. Hope y'all enjoyed this episode. I love you all very much. Good night.
Good night.